Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal. Today, in this episode, number 7, we're going to be exploring Saturn. I may also touch on what's been going on with Venus retrograde. I know I sort of talked about that in the last episode, but I think I have some updates, live updates, from what I've been experiencing during this Venus retrograde and from what I've gathered from other people too. We all seem to be going through some sort of common themes. You may be feeling so intense right now because there's just so many planets in Scorpio right now, including Venus, which is in retrograde. So we could just be feeling all over the place right now, and that's totally natural. But first, I wanted to share a kind of an interesting story. You know, 2018 has been such a year of sort of spiritual growth for me. I've had a sort of spiritual awakening. As woo-woo as that sounds, I guess it's true, and it's the only way I can really describe what I've gone through this year. And I think it was around maybe June where I started to kind of realize that because I'm having this spiritual awakening and because I'm an empath, I, my whole life, have been absorbing the outside world, and I come home and it's almost like I come home and I don't take my shoes off. Even though I do take my shoes off physically at the door, like spiritually, I still am wearing the day. And maybe if you're an empath, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's sort of like you continue to wear what you've experienced on the outside world, even when you come through the door at home and you're trying to relax. And it kind of got to a point where I just felt so psychically cluttered. I felt like I couldn't discern between my own energy and other people's energy that was still on me from the day. And maybe this makes no sense to some of you who don't identify as empaths, but I think if you do identify as an empath, you probably relate to me somehow. And that brought me to, I honestly forget who I was listening to. It was some sort of podcast. If anybody knows kind of what I'm talking about or has an idea of where I can re-find this podcast, let me know. But it was some sort of podcast. It was a topic of witchcraft and just being a witch, and a male witch was talking about a sort of old witch's trick for cleansing someone's energetic field. And he said that he took a salt bath with sea salt, and he would also do lemon in the salt bath and also vinegar. And because he called this like an old witch's trick, it makes me feel like he wasn't exactly the one to invent this. Maybe this is just ancient knowledge for maybe spiritual people. It's just an easy way to cleanse your energy, taking salt baths. And I started to, you know, maybe in the past I would have been like, oh man, no way would that actually help me. But I was trying to figure out like an easy way to start cleansing my energy every night before I go to bed, so I can better connect with my ancestors at night and also just better connect with myself in the day. So that's what I did. I started kind of following this guy's advice, and I don't have a bathtub in my house. So what I did is I started getting like a huge water bottle, and I put about a cup of sea salt in there. I squeeze about one or two lemons into the water, the salt water, and then I'll usually add a splash of vinegar. I'll shake it all up. Sometimes I'll write down a spell of sorts that's kind of about like letting go or releasing of the day, or sometimes I'll just say what I need to release, and I'll pour it over myself when I'm in the shower, watch the water going down the drain, and it's very cleansing to me. And I swear, every time I leave the shower, I feel better. I feel like I've washed off people's energy from my body, which just feels so good. And I've never had that feeling before as an empath, because until now, I didn't really know how to take care of myself as an empath, but now I'm slowly learning. And here's the funny part. You know, I felt like it was working, but I was like, you know, maybe it's just a placebo effect or whatever you want to call it. But it's so funny because a little plant has started growing from my drain, which almost makes me cry when I think about that. But it's like this little sprout that's just kind of grown from my drain, and it's kind of telling me that, like, everything that I've been washing off, everything that I've been growing or trying to grow this year is growing in a sense. So yeah, I think magic is real, and I haven't quite yet delved into actually talking about, like, witchcraft or, like, being a witch on this channel, even though it's called Horoscope Witch, because I am not quite ready to dive into that. And it's funny because if you've been with me since the first episode, you know that I wanted to call this podcast Horoscope Bitch with a B, but iTunes wouldn't let me name it with a profanity, so I changed it to Horoscope Witch. But it was almost as if the universe really wanted me to present myself as a witch. And actually, it's funny because so many people have asked me in my life, like, random people have asked me, like, are you a witch? And I've always said no, and I've never understood why I get that question so much from, like, people I don't even know. But now that I'm kind of coming into my identity a little bit more and exploring myself, it's really been interesting. So yeah, if there's any, you don't have to be a witch to cleanse yourself with salt water and lemon and vinegar every night. But if you feel like you're an empath or you just have had a bad day, remember to take care of yourself energetically, and, you know, something may just grow from that. Now, speaking of taking care of ourselves energetically, I feel like that is so, so, so important right now because Venus retrograde in Scorpio is so, so intense. And I find myself on the daily being like, why is this so intense? But duh, it's intense because it's in Scorpio. And just a reminder, the retrograde did start on October 5th, and it's going to be going until November 16th. Now, when I think of this in a symbol, I'm still getting this image of, like, a dog digging this massive hole in the backyard, and, like, dirt is flying everywhere, and we don't really know what this dog is digging for. We're looking at him, and, like, we're like, is this dog looking for treasure, or is he looking for a dead body? we're sort of being forced to dig up our own skeletons right now with this retrograde, especially when it comes to romantic relationships, because, duh, it's Venus, and Venus is the ruler of romance and love, but also material possessions as well. So there are these, like, deep-seated emotional issues that are being dug up right now. And everybody kind of freaks out over Mercury retrograde, I think just because it's trendy to freak out about Mercury retrograde. But the fact of the matter is that Mercury retrograde seems more surface level to me, at least. I'm not a professional astrologer, nor do I claim to be. I'm just a student of astrology. But from a student's perspective, for me, I feel as though Mercury retrograde, like I said, is more surface. We're kind of just scraping the surface of certain things in our life. We may be reevaluating things, but, you know, it's nothing quite as deep as a Venus retrograde will present us with, right? And I feel like Venus retrograde has so much potential to bring up these, like, deeply seated or deeply rooted issues in us. And it can be a really painful and overwhelming time right now. And it's important to know that everyone feels intense right now. I've talked to so many people about their current experience right now, and I think a lot of us are facing common things like repression, things that are surrounding sexuality, our relationship to being in a relationship, the oppression of women. These type of things are coming up and stirring right now all in our pot. And something has come up with all the Scorpio energy in the sky. By the way, Venus is not the only planet in Scorpio at the moment. We actually have quite a few planets in Scorpio, which is only going to make us feel more weird and more intense. No offense to my Scorpio peeps out there. I love you. But when too many planets are in Scorpio, the energy just starts to get weird. And for myself, all these planets in Scorpio, including Venus, I feel like I've been evaluating what I say, when I say it, and how I say it. Now, what do I mean by that? I've been faced with this dilemma of being a woman and sort of being taught to sugarcoat things or not come off too aggressive or not come off as angry or just not say anything at all. If I don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. And I feel as though this Venus retrograde, especially for me, I'm wondering if anybody else relates, it's kind of been bringing up a sort of what's my relationship with what I say, which is very interesting because Scorpio is this planet of like secrets, and Scorpios themselves do sometimes have some secretive tendencies. And it's almost as if like my voice is saying, like, I'm done being kept secret. Like, there are some things that you have wanted to say in the past that you've held back. And in the past, I have considered, you know, if my truth wants to be spoken, if I want to speak my truth, I'm constantly considering how it will be received by whoever I'm sharing my truth with, right? And I think we all do that on a conscious and subconscious level. Like, obviously, if we're speaking a certain truth, we're going to speak that truth differently to our best friend versus our mother versus our boss. And that's just how life is. We can't just say everything that's on our mind at all times. But sometimes I feel as though whenever I personally want to have a serious discussion, or maybe there's something I'm angry about, like the Brett Kavanaugh situation or politics or something like that, lately I've known that my truth with my relationship with those heavy, heavy issues in politics right now, my truth wants to be told and I want to speak out against those things. But there's also this point where I feel like, well, what if it's a waste of my energy to talk about politics with someone who's not going to even receive it, if that makes sense. And I think this is a huge issue with a lot of women right now in general. I think that's why we're coming to be seen as an angry warrior right now, because it's almost as if we've bottled all this up for so long and we're like, you know what, I'm sick of being afraid to speak what I need to say because I'm afraid of how it will be received. I'm afraid it'll be shut down. Now I'm coming to a point where I'm kind of starting to see that even if I speak my truth in a situation where it will not be well received, maybe it's not as big of a waste of energy as I thought. And of course, this is situational to situational, but maybe it does give me a sense of peace when I actually say what I need to be said, regardless of what the person on the receiving end is going to say about it. You know, and that comes from like talking about politics, talking about women's issues, talking about abortion, talking about Roe versus Wade, anything of the sort. These are all sensitive topics that we don't necessarily love to bring up. That being said, that's kind of what I'm working on right now. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I wanted to put that out there, like my relationship with my voice, with speaking my truth, how I speak my truth, and what are the benefits of speaking my truth. That being said, I feel as though Venus retrograde in Scorpio is such a tumultuous time. And in general, by speaking our truth, sometimes it does have so much power that it'll actually end relationships based on the things we may disagree on, right? So if we bring up something, let's say we identify as a woman, or we identify as non-binary, or we identify as a man, and we bring something up to, let's say, our guy friend, and we say, hey, like, I don't like what you've been saying about the Brett Kavanaugh situation. That really hurts my feelings. Like, this is how I feel. And maybe you get into a huge disagreement, and it kind of is like, your relationship feels like in flames, like it's ending, like you can't go further because this disagreement is so huge. And I think that can be reflective of what Venus in Scorpio is doing, like what it's kind of bringing to fruition. So I just wanted to say, you know, be careful right now. You don't want to completely be burning bridges right now because it's such an emotionally intense time. Even if there is someone you disagree with or you speak your truth and it's not well received, just know that I feel as though the bridges we are burning right now, it's not sort of like we're just lighting a match, a little match, and like throwing it onto a bridge. Like, the bridges we're burning right now with this Scorpio energy behind us, it's like we're dropping a bomb on the bridge and blowing it into smithereens. Like, what is said right now has so much power, and that's beautiful, but also can be so destructive. Now, that's not me saying don't call out some asshole for being a misogynist, but I think definitely these bridges burning does have the potential to happen at this time. And that's kind of why I'm considering what I'm saying, having this kind of struggle of speaking my truth or not speaking my truth. But the thing is, also, with the love situation, the love part of Venus, the romantic relationship part of Venus being in retrograde, of course we're going to be faced with old relationship issues, even if that person is long gone, even if we're not getting texts from our ex, even if we're way over certain exes, we're still, that theme of love is still going to come up in some way. And what I'm kind of realizing is that during this retrograde is, love isn't something we need to waste our time regretting, which is something I really struggle with, because I tend to go over how stupid this relationship was, or just in general be overly critical of myself in certain situations when it comes to love. But the truth is, at the end of the day, if we are brave enough to open our life and open our heart and be vulnerable with someone, even if it doesn't work out, there is always personal growth to be had. So if you do fall into this trap during this Venus retrograde of sort of regretting those old loves, I just wanted to say that we don't need to waste our time regretting any love that's ever been had or old flames, you know, because without them, we wouldn't be ready right now, or at least preparing, because that's kind of what we're doing in Venus retrograde. We're preparing for real love that we are realizing that we really do deserve. And that's kind of what Venus retrograde is trying to do for us. So if anything comes up, regret, shame, that kind of thing, when thinking about our past relationships, just know that those things have to come up so we can release and be ready to turn a new leaf come November 16th. I feel like a lot of us, come November 16th, when this Venus retrograde is over, we have this newfound sense of the self. We have this newfound sense of, wow, like there is a lot of issues brought up. But now that I've at least said hi to those issues, now that I stopped ignoring those issues, and I may be holding hands with those issues now, and we're kind of friends and we're working with each other, now I feel like I'm ready for a love that I haven't experienced before. So those are just kind of my thoughts right now, my working thoughts about Venus retrograde. Again, I'm not a professional astrologer. I hope you get more opinions from the wonderful professional astrologers out there. These are just kind of my intuitive feelings about what's happening and what I'm observing. But today, from a student's perspective, we will be talking about Saturn. And I love talking about Saturn, even though he's kind of a pain in the ass kind of planet. Because Saturn is a really important planet to understand and to be aware of in your birth chart. You always want to know where Saturn is transiting with your personal self. So before I get into how we can figure out where Saturn is with us right now, I mean, he's in Capricorn, but what does that mean for us as individuals? Who is Saturn? Well, first and foremost, most people, including me, I fall into this trap, use the he pronouns for Saturn. We kind of have a tendency to think of him as this sort of, like, strict, like, dad, father character, and that's just from the mythology of who Saturn is. But feel free, you don't have to get caught in this trap of calling Saturn him, he. Like, you could definitely think of Saturn as a woman or as just no gender at all. Because I'm just stuck in this habit of calling Saturn he, him, that's why I'm calling him that. But feel free to take your own interpretation of what gender Saturn may be to you. And same goes for Venus, too. Venus always gets portrayed as a woman because we think of her as, like, this feminine, sweet, like, romantic planet who wears, like, all these fancy clothes and jewelry. But we don't need to think of Venus as a woman if we don't want to, and if that somehow holds us back from connecting to astrology as a whole. The planets in reality don't have a gender, right? It's just the mythology behind it that gives them the gender. So, anyways, who is Saturn? Saturn is the great teacher of the zodiac. He is restriction. He represents prison. He represents hard lessons, the necessary obstacles of life that we have to go through in order to sort of graduate from level to level. Now, Saturn moves from the zodiac signs about every 3 years or so. And then every 28 or 29 years in our birth chart, we have something called a Saturn return, which is when Saturn returns to the same place he was in when we were born. And during our first Saturn return, when we are 28 or 29 years old, this will possibly give us the greatest lesson we've ever had to face. So, to kind of get more into, like, who Saturn is, like, you're, like, kind of scared. You're like, Mel, you're scaring me. Like, I'm nearing 28 years old. What are you saying? Or maybe you are 28 or 29 right now and you're listening to this and you're going through your Saturn return. Or maybe you're a little bit older than that and you're like, huh, damn, yeah, 28 or 29. I had a total life crisis then and I didn't even know. That's so interesting. So, yeah, Saturn returns don't have to be as negative as we view them, right? Especially when we start early and we start to realize that we can work with Saturn instead of against him. We never want to work against Saturn because we'll literally never win. So if we just work with him instead, it makes our lives a lot easier. Now, I think the best representation of Saturn that I can actually think of is if you've ever seen the movie Karate Kid with Mr. Miyagi. There's a boy who is being bullied at school and by these other boys who are like karate champions, sort of. And this boy is getting beat up after school and he's getting bullied, and he finds a sort of mentor named Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi is a karate champion, and he starts to teach this boy how to do karate. And it's a really good movie when we think about Saturn's lessons, because especially the famous wax on, wax off scene. I'm kind of assuming that most people, even if you haven't seen Karate Kid, you've probably heard the phrase wax on, wax off, which I'm doing the motion right now, even though you can't see me because it's a podcast. But basically, Mr. Miyagi, he teaches the Karate Kid how to do certain moves, karate moves, by like waxing, I think they're like waxing a fence, or maybe they're like painting a fence or something like that. And the kid is like finally like, man, like my arms are killing me. How is this even teaching me karate? And then Mr. Miyagi starts fighting him and he starts doing these wax on, wax off moves. And he realizes that in doing this tedious, tedious, tedious work, he has magically learned how to do karate. And if you know that movie, I guess Mr. Miyagi's lessons don't really make sense until the end, right? And then everything comes full circle. And I can't help but think that's how Saturn works. When he's in a certain spot in our chart, he's in a certain house. If you remember last episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, that would be a really good precursor for this episode, because I'm going to be talking about Saturn traveling in certain houses this episode. So if Saturn is in our house of whatever, 1 through 12, whatever house he may be in, that's 3 years, about 3 years roughly, where we're going to be going wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off, and not really know what we're even fucking learning. Then, at the end of 3 years, when Saturn leaves this certain house, he's been making us kind of have a makeover in this certain house, whether it be the house of relationships, the house of friendships, the house of the subconscious, the house of the self, wherever he may be, we're kind of like dumbfounded once he leaves, because we're like, oh, that's what he was teaching me. So that movie to me is like the best representation of what Saturn is doing in our birth chart. We can also, if you haven't seen The Karate Kid, maybe you've seen Harry Potter, maybe you've heard of it. Dumbledore, I think, in a way, even though Dumbledore is a very, like, people love Dumbledore and people don't usually love Saturn. Saturn is usually, like, a much meaner teacher than Dumbledore is. But I think Dumbledore can be seen as, like, a Saturnian character at times. The way he teaches Harry the hard lessons, but also his interactions with Snape as well, because Dumbledore is a very tough teacher, especially on Snape, and he gives him the hardest lesson in his life, you know, when he challenges Snape to be the spy between the dark side and the good side. And we can also see that Saturn type lesson in Harry Potter. Now, one more thing, one more example I was trying to think of, and I couldn't help but think that Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada is also a Saturnian sort of character, because Anne Hathaway's character in The Devil Wears Prada is completely transformed by Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada. Like, Anne Hathaway's character, why am I blanking on her name? Is it Annie? Andy, that's what it is. It's Andy. So Andy, that character, she like is a complete frump. She doesn't know how to dress, and she's working for this fashion magazine. And Miranda Priestly, like, kind of indirectly, completely influences her and changes her life and how she dresses and how she acts. And even though that lesson she learns is really hard, like, Andy, during that time, she, like, basically gives up her life, her and her boyfriend break up, she's made some stupid mistakes, she's kind of lost who she is. At the end of that cycle, she's really discovered who she is. Through losing herself, she has found herself again. And that's why Miranda Priestly is, like, that ultimate, one of the ultimate Saturnian teachers. And after Andy sort of graduates with that, like, sort of, I'm quitting this job, she goes on to bigger and better things. Saturn, Miranda Priestly, is able to sort of give her a recommendation and be like, no, like, she's the most, what did she say? She's like, she's the most disappointing person that's ever worked for me, but you'd be stupid not to hire her. She's like, writes a note, something like that. And that's sort of Saturn for us, right? So Saturn, that's an overview of how we can see Saturn in real life. Now, Saturn in the tarot, so according to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is like the OG tarot card group, the tarot card that is represented by Saturn, and yes, if you followed my invitation a couple episodes ago to get your own deck of tarot and start experimenting and learning, literally if I even got one person to do that, I'd feel happy. Even though I know the vast majority of people listening probably didn't do that, if I did get turn one person on to tarot, that's amazing. Can you please let me know? DM me on Twitter. But maybe this will be a good lesson for you if you have started getting more interested in learning tarot. I'll just quickly let you know that the tarot card that is represented by Saturn in the tarot, the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, or I guess any deck, is the World card. Now, if you know any basics of tarot, you know the World is the last card of the major arcana. And it sort of encompasses all the lessons that we learn going through the 21 or 22 major arcana cards. Like, we go from the Fool meets the High Priestess, and la-di-da-di-da, he becomes the Hanged Man, he dies, he has a tower moment, he reaches the moon, he reaches the sun, he reaches the stars, he has a judgment moment, and after so many cycles and so many steps in this lesson, the Fool arrives at the World, where he faces a sort of completion of the cycle. And honestly, I didn't realize that Saturn was the card for the World. And I understand now what the World card means. Because before knowing that Saturn was connected to the World card, I really simplified the World as just sort of, oh, it's an ending. You know, you've completed something, you've completed a cycle. But now that knowing that Saturn is connected to that, we really get a sense of just how difficult, just how many challenges we had to face, the ups and downs we had to experience in order to get to this certain point in this cycle. And yeah, like I said, tarot card readers traditionally say the World card is about completion, and it is about completion. But since it's the very last card in the deck, it's sort of like completion, but we know from tarot or from poetry or from any literature or from any sort of nature symbology, we know death is life and life is death. So when we have the last card in the tarot, which is technically sort of like a completion, we know new life is coming next. So that is why in the World card, we usually see some sort of, I want to say it's like, for me, it looks like a birth canal. But it's usually some sort of like circle in the sky and some sort of naked person is coming out of it. In the Rider-Waite, there's a naked woman coming out of this circle in the sky. And for me, that's always represented as sort of like birth canal, like you're coming out of something, you're birthing something new. You've been pregnant with something and it's been really challenging, but now you're coming in full circle and something new is on the way. So we can see through this card that Saturn can kind of define certain cycles in your life, along with other planets as well. I mean, Saturn's not the only person who's going to teach you lessons. I mean, right now we're being taught lessons by Venus, right? But we're also being taught lessons by Saturn no matter what. And then one other tarot card I wanted to mention quickly, this is actually the tarot card I thought represented Saturn, and I guess it technically does as well, which is the Devil card, which is actually the card of Capricorn, and Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, so I guess it all comes full circle. But the Devil card has also a lot to do with this Saturnian energy. Traditionally, people will say that the Devil card has a lot to do with material attachments, addictions, unhealthy behaviors, the shadow side, imprisonment, just some icky stuff that we don't necessarily want to face. But I can take a more positive spin on the Devil card. I think it's about, like I said, kind of becoming friends with the things about ourselves that we do not like. Kind of starting to hold hands with the things we don't want to face. And we find that once we start to do that, life becomes easier. When we're not repressing so much shit that we don't want to deal with, and we start to bring it up, we start to dig it up, like we're doing now, that actually allows us healing, right? Because when we hold hands with our issues, then we sort of start to heal with it, and we can release ourselves from that chain of imprisonment, and we're really in prison when we just keep repressing things we don't want to deal with. We can easily have the key to our own prison if we just realize, if we just open our palm and see the key, but we don't sometimes want even the key to our prison. So that's kind of an overview of what Saturn is in the tarot and how it can also come up in the tarot. But now let's get into Saturn in our actual birth chart. So let's dive into Saturn in our birth chart. So how is he exactly stirring the pot for us right now? So in order to see where Saturn is in our birth charts, we actually need our birth charts, right? So if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I often ask everybody to whip out their birth charts at some point in each episode. And for this purpose, I do recommend using the free online birth chart at astrocharts.com. Of course, I'll always leave the link in the show notes, but I really like that website for more intermediate work for seeing where the planets are in certain houses and so on and so forth. And once we're looking at the astro chart, birth chart, we can actually see, it'll give you a list of, you know, all your planets. Like it'll say, you know, Cancer, if the sun is in Cancer, the moon is in Leo, Saturn is in Pisces at whatever degree. So you'll see that list. And so you'll take note of what sign Saturn was in at your birth. Also, Saturn is sort of that fancy looking symbol that it kind of looks like a fancy number 5, or it could also look like a fancy lowercase h, however you look at it. Actually, I was looking up the meaning of the symbol, or we would call it a glyph. I was looking up the meaning of the glyph, and it's supposed to represent a sort of agricultural tool that was held by God, and I think it's technically called a sickle. And what a sickle is, it's kind of like a curved hook thing on a long stick, and it's used to like cut away like wheat or like heavy forestry or like to castrate men. I don't know, but that's like the symbol of the little glyph thing. So again, you might want to take note, be like, okay, where is Saturn in my birth chart? I was born with Saturn in Pisces. Scroll down. You're going to see then in the section where it's listing your houses, I want you to take note. I don't know if it says Saturn or if it gives you the glyph, but either way, you're going to take note of which house Saturn was sitting in at the time of your birth, because that's very significant. You also want to notice, okay, is Saturn by itself in a certain house, or is it with other planets? Because that's also going to affect you as a person, right? For instance, I think I mentioned this in my last podcast, Saturn's at the time of my birth, it's actually sitting with both my sun and my moon. Ouch. Let me know if anybody else has Saturn and their sun, especially together, because I think I mentioned it's kind of an extra challenge in life, in the birth chart. However, you know, nothing we can't work through. We just have to learn how to work with Saturn instead of like fighting against him. We need to learn to be his dutiful assistant instead of like kind of a rebellious student. So yeah, notice the planets that are also with Saturn in whatever given house in your birth chart, because again, that's also going to affect you in certain ways. I won't get into the specifics right now because A, I'm a student, I'm still learning. I think I could give you maybe like a sort of like kind of very beginner interpretation of like what it would mean if Saturn was paired with your moon, or if Saturn was paired with Jupiter in your chart, or if Saturn resided with Neptune in your chart. But I don't think it would be worth telling you right now, because I wouldn't be able to go so in depth as to make a difference in your journey right now. Maybe one day. give me a few more episodes. Give me a few more, you know, a year or two or three or 10 of studying, and we'll get to that eventually in this podcast. But like I said, right now, just take note, what sign is Saturn in at your birth, which house is he in, and which planets are sitting together with him. Now, if you really feel very advanced, you can also somewhere scroll up or scroll down, you can see the lists of certain aspects in your chart. Like it'll say, Lala conjuncts Lala at 19 degrees, or this squares this, this sextiles this, this trines this. You can also make note of what aspect Saturn is making in your birth chart. That's also very important. If Saturn is squaring something, if Saturn is conjuncting something, all very significant. All things that I'm doing personal study on right now, and I invite you to also do some personal study at this time. Eventually, I will talk about it more, but I think right now I'm kind of more comfortable just talking about, yes, where was Saturn when you were born? Very significant, but where, what is Saturn doing with your chart now? Because obviously, Saturn has moved since you were born, and right now, Saturn is actually in the sign of Capricorn. And Saturn, he moved into Capricorn at the end of December 2017. So, I mean, we could even say 2017 or January 2018. So he changed signs right at the end of 2017, right at the beginning of 2018. And he will be transiting Capricorn until December 2020. So he will be in the sign of Capricorn for a good 3 years. So I would like now for you to look at your birth chart again, and I want you to find what house in your birth chart is ruled by Capricorn. So it will say, like your first house is in Capricorn something something degrees, right? And we learned last episode the natural rulers of each house. Like, we learned the natural ruler of the first house is Aries, second house is Taurus, and so on and so forth, going in order all the way down to the 12th house of Pisces. But in our personal birth charts, it's not necessarily going to align like that. Unless you have maybe an Aries ascendant, then it could align like that, but that's for very few of us. So we're looking at what sign rules our particular houses. So you're going to find, where does Capricorn show up? Is Capricorn the ruler of your first house? Is it the ruler of your second house, seventh house, 12th house? Where is Capricorn? And that is currently where Saturn is sitting. So what does that actually mean? You're like, Mel, okay, I understand. I get it. It says my fourth house is in Capricorn. But what does it mean if Saturn is sitting there right now? And what does it mean if Saturn is sitting there for the next 3 years? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to get to that in a second. Just one more thing about the way Saturn moves. If anybody is more mathematically inclined, we can also imagine a sort of circle and how Saturn moves throughout the years. If we imagine a circle, and if we passed math class, we may remember that a circle is 360 degrees, right? So when we were born, Saturn was at the top of the circle, right? And then eventually, you know, around maybe 7 or 8 years old, he moved to, he is now at kind of the side of the circle at 90 degrees, right? And that's a significant time because 90 degree angles in astrology are squares. Squares are points of tension. So you can see how there's certain transits for any given person at any certain time that may be more difficult than other Saturn transits. So if you're a 7 or 8 year old, which I would actually really hope that no one is 8 years old listening to this, because God, I don't know what kind of swear words I've said today. But when you were 7 or 8 years old, no matter what, Saturn was at a 90 degree angle squaring where it originally was. Then he'll move, you know, around 14, 15. Now, if we're moving around the circle, now we're kind of at a 180. So we're at like a conjunction. And then if we're moving to when we're 21, 22, we come at the other side of the circle. We're at another 90 degree angle. Okay, so then we have another square when we're 21, 22. That's another great challenge. And then we come full circle, literally. We're back at the top of the circle. And we're 28, 29 years old. Saturn has returned, finally, to the sign that he was in when we were born. I hope that makes sense. This is the limitations of a podcast because I can't actually show you. Maybe one day I'll start filming this podcast and put it on YouTube, but right now we're keeping this small, okay? And I'm in my pajamas right now, and I've been in my pajamas the whole day, and that is just the benefits of keeping this a podcast and not actually filming me say all this stuff as well. So we can get back to Saturn and Capricorn. So again, we've found our house. We know which house is in Capricorn. Now, what does that mean when Saturn is sitting in your house that is ruled by Capricorn? Well, I'm going to go into a few very brief descriptions of the types of challenges you may face depending on what house is in Capricorn for you and what else Saturn may be doing. Now, this is very general. Like, I can't see your whole chart, so this is only one side of what's happening. Like, certainly Saturn could be in your, let's say, first house of Capricorn. But, like, that means one thing, but Saturn could also be doing some wild thing as well, like squaring your moon or sextiling your Jupiter, or, you know, something like that else could be happening. So that is the benefit of going to get like a professional astrological reading, because they have more insights about what those things can mean. But just very general, I think if we want to learn to work with Saturn instead of against him, we need to be aware of which area of life in general Saturn is transiting right now. So that's the knowledge I hope to give you today, the very general knowledge, and I would also invite you to challenge what I'm saying. Please challenge me, because, again, I'm a student, and I'm just sharing what I'm learning with you. So the first house, if your first house is in Capricorn, Saturn would be sitting in your first house right now. So if we remember from our last episode, the first house is the house of the self, is the house of the ego. So if Saturn is sitting there, I feel as though we may be having a general crisis of the self right now, and maybe until 2020 when Saturn leaves and goes on to the next sign. That we may be having some kind of ego death. We may be gaining a new perspective in general on life. Maybe something has really like humbled us, like life has given us, as Tyra would say, a slice of humble pie. And something has really affected us that has made us be like, okay, well, maybe I'm not that cool. Maybe I need to like humble myself in some way. You're gaining a perspective on some sort of challenge you have always had, perhaps. Like, what do I mean by this? Well, you may be gaining a new perspective on, let's say, your anxiety or depression. Like, maybe you're starting to build a new relationship around anxiety or depression. Like, some part of yourself that you have viewed kind of as a thorn stuck in your side. Now you're kind of like, okay, well, this is a part of me. How can I transform this thorn into something not so painful? Like, maybe I have depression, but how can I say that, depression may be something that's just a part of me, not saying that I'll never overcome it, but maybe because I'm a spiritual person, I guess this is from my personal perspective, because I'm a spiritual person, that comes hand in hand with depression, or because I'm an empath, that comes hand in hand with anxiety. Like, I can't be one and not have the other. So if we start to think about that kind of thing, like how we could be transforming a view of ourselves, that's something that could be happening if Saturn is currently in your first house in Capricorn. Now, if your second house is ruled by Capricorn, I would have to say that Saturn is, I don't want to say definitely, because there's always, you know, there's always chances in astrology that something else could be happening, but Saturn is probably teaching you a lesson about money. Things are coming up. There could be something as serious as bankruptcy. Like, when Michael Scott declares bankruptcy, Saturn was definitely in his second house of Capricorn. There could be something smaller. Like, you may have thought you were financially stable and you moved out of your parents' house, but now you have to move back in, and because you got you were broke so quickly and you were overspending and you didn't know how to budget yourself. You could be learning how to budget yourself. Maybe you moved to a new big expensive city and you really have a challenge with like spending like money every weekend and you're always broke and you're always like calling your, I don't know, whatever distant relative for money. Something like that is happening with your house of money. You're definitely learning a lesson about money. So if your third house is in Capricorn right now, Saturn may be teaching you a lesson. You know, it could be anything from communication to travel to siblings. Maybe in a few cases, someone's sibling could be going through a rough patch. You could be fighting with a sibling. You could be having like a sibling feud. I would actually say maybe if you were born with Saturn in your third house, maybe you've always had some sort of sibling issue. In a few cases, maybe you are wanting to move a short distance away, but you can't seem to find the right house. For most of us, when Saturn is in transiting our third house, I feel as though it's more general, though it's less specific. I think we're learning a lesson about how we communicate or connect with others. Perhaps we are having trouble finding love and we finally realize, hey, I need to put myself out there on online dating, or hey, I need to find a matchmaker, or maybe it's something like, I maybe leave like really petty comments on people's Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and like I don't actually know why I'm like this or why I'm doing this, and it's become sort of like a road rage kind of thing, only like the internet version of road rage, where I'm like angry with my own life and I just leave mean comments on different things. That could be happening, and you're like, wait, why do I do that? We could be figuring out the way we communicate with our deep emotions, like anger and sadness. It could be not healthy. Maybe we lock everything in and then we just blow up like twice a year, and that's how we deal with our emotions. And you're like, wait a second, that's not healthy. Maybe I need to go get help. Maybe I need to see a counselor for that. So it's really any lesson we're learning about communication. There could be a lot of miscommunications during this time. We could be feeling like no one gets who I am, or no one sees what I'm actually trying to say. That could be kind of a side effect of Saturn in the third house. Now, if Saturn is in your fourth house, that would mean your fourth house is in Capricorn. If we remember, the fourth house is the house of the home. And if your fourth house is ruled by Capricorn, Saturn is challenging you with something inside of the house. So this could be as serious as a divorce, although that also could be happening if Saturn is in your seventh house, because that is the house of marriage technically. But it could be that you are wanting to move to a totally new place. Maybe you're moving to a new place, but you don't want to be. Maybe it's just because your partner got a job somewhere and you're just doing it because you want to be with them, but it's not actually where you want to move. Maybe your parents sit you down and you're like, okay, kids, mom got a job in Ecuador. We're moving. And you're like, literally, what the fuck? Your house could be destroyed by bad weather. But that's like very few cases. Maybe an annoying relative moves in with you. There's just some sort of general clusterfuck going on in your realm of the home. Okay. So fifth house, which is our house of pleasure, our house of fun, you know, maybe when Saturn's transiting our fifth house, if your fifth house is in Capricorn, we're learning that a little too much of a good thing is actually a bad thing. Right? Somewhere in life, we've been maybe overindulging. Perhaps we've even developed a sort of addiction. It's time to address this addiction. If we've been partying too hard or been too dependent on our partners, maybe this is the time to seek extra support. But I also can't help but think, if you do have your fifth house ruled by Capricorn, I feel like you might be viewed more as like maybe like a straight edge person, or, well, I don't know, it depends, but maybe the exact opposite. You're asking to maybe become more fun, quote unquote. Maybe your friends are always like, why are you such a party pooper. Like, why don't you ever come out with us? Like, maybe you're learning to put yourself out there more. That could also be what the fifth house in Capricorn with Saturn in it is teaching you. Okay, if your sixth house is in Capricorn, if you remember, the sixth house is how we serve others. So perhaps you're looking into a career change, maybe, but this could also apply for the 10th house as well. Maybe you've been a stay-at-home mom for like 10 years and now your kids are driving you nuts and it's time to go back to work, or vice versa. Maybe you feel like you're missing out on your kids' lives and it's time to quit that job and be a stay-at-home mom instead. This could apply if you're a dad too. Maybe you could be thinking that your job just isn't fulfilling your greatest, highest purpose in life, and you need to look for a new job because you want to serve others in a new way. Also, the sixth house is also the house of health. So there could be a health issue to come up with you or with a person who's close to you. It doesn't have to be anything like as serious as like cancer or surgery. But it could be that you finally decide to commit to losing weight that, you know, you've wanted to lose. Or maybe there's a change of diet or change of lifestyle or whatever it may be. Now that I think about it, I had my first surgery, if you count wisdom teeth, getting your wisdom teeth taken out, like right at the end of Saturn being in my sixth house, and it was like the worst thing ever. Like, I had everything go wrong, like that could have gone wrong. Like, I was like one in 100 people to like get like all these infections in my wisdom teeth, and like I had like, I was in so much pain, and I had like a month recovery when most people recover in like less than a week, and I couldn't recover. So now that I'm thinking this, I'm like, oh wait, this kind of makes sense. Okay, not saying that's going to happen to you. Most people who get their wisdom teeth out are totally fine. But also, moving on to the seventh house. House of relationships, house of marriages, house of enemies. So if Capricorn rules your seventh house, like Capricorn rules my seventh house, Saturn would be currently transiting here. I feel like maybe you're having some sort of past life relationship come up. This could be a kind of karmic relationship. Maybe you have a relationship with someone that's kind of like, get back together, break up, get back together, break up, get back together, break up. It's some sort of like unhealthy relationship sort of pattern. There could be a divorce. There could be a reevaluation of a marriage contract. This doesn't necessarily have to be bad. This could be like you sitting down with your spouse, like you guys are reevaluating what your relationship means to each other. This could mean you're opening your relationship. Maybe you want to experiment with a more open marriage, a polyamorous marriage. Maybe you're experimenting with your sexuality. Also, I can't help but think friendships are also affected in this house, even though that could also be affected in the 11th house. But most importantly, you know, when we're talking about romantic relationships, we can't ignore that this also has so much to do with our relationship to ourself and how we actually love ourselves. So when Saturn is in this house, you may ultimately not even be learning a lesson about relationships. It's more like a lesson about self-love. So that's a really important, I think, Saturn transit to have. And it's not easy. I'm going through it right now. So that brings us to the 8th house. If Capricorn is in your 8th house, this is the house of sex, death, taxes. For the vast majority of people, I don't think there will actually be like a physical death to be had, but it could be possible. I mean, death and birth happen every single day, every single second. So like whether your Saturn is in your 8th house or not, like that stuff is going to happen. But you could be facing the theme of death and rebirth in some way. You could also be having issues with other people's money. Maybe you loaned someone a large sum and you're having trouble getting it back. Or maybe someone is asking you for a loan. Maybe you are asking someone for a loan, so it could be vice versa. There's also themes around sexuality are coming up, but it's more of like the dark side of sexuality. Maybe you're facing your internalized homophobia, or maybe you're doing some really, really intense sexual healing work around sexual trauma. Themes like that could be coming up. Like, again, the eighth house is connected to Scorpio. So these are like deep themes of like death, transformation. It's not an easy house to be learning lessons in. Okay, that moves us to the ninth house. So if your ninth house is ruled by Capricorn, again, this is sort of the house religion, travel, philosophy. You could be having a sort of dark night of the soul, a religious awakening of sorts. You could be converting to a new religion. You could be having like prophetic dreams. You could be breaking away from your religion that you grew up in and being like, fuck this, I'm an atheist. You could be moving to a faraway place. You could be doing something like wanting to get your yoga teacher certification. It could be something spiritual or philosophical. You could be choosing to go back to school and study what you're really passionate about. Really, in this house, when Saturn is in this house, your personal dogmas are being challenged above all. Okay, so when Saturn is transiting your 10th house, this is also called the midheaven. This is, again, we're facing some sort of challenge in our role in society. So this could be a big career change, sort of similar to the 6th house. It could be someone quitting their CEO job and deciding to travel the world. You're sort of figuring out who you are in the world. Like, this is more of the big picture. Maybe you're working for a company that you find like somewhat unethical, and this is sort of like your wake-up period. Really, it has a lot to do with career, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're changing careers. It could be that you're changing positions. Maybe you're getting a promotion, but the promotion wasn't all that you thought it was to be, because now that you're promoted, your work has become your life. It could be also a fear of failure in somewhere in your career. That's what I'm getting. Like, I'm thinking about Capricorn and what Capricorn is as a sign in general. So yeah, if your 10th house is ruled by Capricorn, you would be challenging something of those themes. Okay. Almost finished here. The 11th house, if your 11th house is ruled by Capricorn, you are perhaps facing a challenge for the next 3 years. Challenges surrounding friendships and also organizations that you're a part of. There could be a lot of friend breakups for you during this time. Maybe there's some sort of friend betrayal. Maybe there's just some friends you feel like you've outgrown. Maybe you feel like you have a need to find community. Like, maybe you're like, oh, I'm a witch and I really want to find a coven. Or maybe you just went sober and you want to find an AA group. Like, anything of that sort could be happening when Saturn is transiting your 11th house. Or maybe you feel like you don't align with a certain organization anymore. This could even be like a political organization. This could be like you changing your political views. Okay. That moves us to the 12th house, okay? So if your 12th house is in Capricorn, this is the house of subconscious, intuition, instinct, secrets. It's such a secretive house. I feel like you never know quite what challenges Saturn will bring in this house. Maybe you're having a sort of dark night of the soul, spiritual awakening, sort of similar to what you could be going through in the 9th house, but deeper. You could start going through like therapy to work out childhood trauma. Maybe some kind of life-changing secret is revealed to you. Anything of that sort. But again, I feel it's kind of difficult for me to discern what could be happening when Saturn is transiting the 12th house, because it is like a secret in a way. Like, you kind of never know what's going to come up. So that's kind of all I have for you today on this episode about Saturn. But hopefully you've learned a little bit something about how we can see how the planets are affecting us specifically. Also, you could also do this with Venus in Scorpio. Venus is in Scorpio right now. So you can find which house for you is ruled by Scorpio. And you can see if Venus is having an extra oomph in that certain house for you right now during that retrograde. So this is how astrologers sort of form their information. This is how astrologers are able to say, oh, you know, Pisces, you are dealing with things that have to do with the home, or maybe you're facing a breakup. They're actually looking at the planets and how they're transiting each house. So just, you know, that's basic information, but some people don't understand that. Some people just think astrologers are some like magical wizards, and they are, but they're also very smart, and there's a mathematical sort of thing that's happening behind the scenes that you may not see. Also, it's important to note that if you're reading your horoscope by sun sign, this stuff might not match up because this your house system is based off of your ascendant sign, right? Because your first house is your ascendant, and that determines what the second house is, the third house is, the fourth house is, so on and so forth. So that's why it's kind of important if you do want to read your horoscope, make sure you're also checking both your sun sign and your rising sign, because actually sometimes your rising sign is going to give you more technical information about what's happening in your chart. Okay, guys, thank you so much. If you have listened all the way through, I look forward to our Scorpio season episode next. I know I also mentioned that I'm going to do some sort of book club episode with Women Who Run with the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Sorry if I'm butchering her name. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time to get that book, to read it if you feel so inclined, although you don't have to do either of those things, and you can probably still listen to the episode and get something out of it, because it's such a good book, especially if you're a woman and you feel like you're spiritually connected or disconnected or whatever. It's just such a good book for people who identify as women. So get that book, give it a go. Believe me, I was an English major, so I really feel passionate about this book, and that's why I want to talk about it so much. But we probably won't do that maybe for another month or so. Right now, my life is, I'm coming to a close in a certain area of my life right now. If you don't know me personally, I currently live in rural Malaysia, all the way in Southeast Asia. I'm an English teacher, and I'm commissioned by a, government scholarship to be here. I've taught English for a little less than a year, and I only have about 2 weeks of school left with my students, so it's going to be a really emotional time with me trying to figure out how to say goodbye to all my students. So send me good vibes, and I really hope that you have connected with this episode in some way, and I will see you next episode when we talk about Scorpio. Okay, thanks, guys.